will do mighty exploits for God's kingdom. Amen. Nou vir my onthawe, maar meer vir julle sin gaan ek maar meestals in Engels praat. Is dit oké? Okay? Ek hoop so. Eintlik het julle nie 'n keuse nie, want ek kan nie eintlik in Afrikaans spreek nie. Maar ek gaan probeer. Vanoggend wil ek praat oor the heart of worship, die hart agter ons aanbidding. En ek onthou, ek dink dit was einde 2010, het pastoor Andre Kreer, hy is die pastoor daar in Oos-London, het ons so 'n e-pos uitnodiging gestuur, en die opskrif hier, the subject line said, the heart of worship conference. En ek moet beg, my original thought was, the heart of worship conference. And me and Andre are friends, and I kind of felt like picking up the phone and saying to him, brother, haven't you missed it on this one? I mean, the heart of worship. I mean, since Matt Redman wrote that song, goodness, 15 years ago, and we've been singing about it, we've been preaching about it, we've read books about it, you know. Everybody knows what the heart of worship is. And little did I know that God was wanting to say, Richard, you don't really know what the heart of worship is. And I'm wanting to show you this year. And so we went to this conference. It was amazing. And when I came back, I was praying for the worship teams one morning. And it was at intercession. And I got this vision or this picture. And I don't get too many of those. So when they come around, I tend to pay attention. And in this picture, if you can just flight that first slide of the two hearts. It was this very graphic picture that came in this kind of vision that I saw. And it was two hearts, but the main heart was kind of on the right-hand side, and then you had this little heart on the left-hand side. But the little heart wasn't facing to the big heart. So in this picture, I see how this little heart on the left-hand side actually like turns around like 180 degrees and then slowly starts moving towards the big heart. And initially, they've got different kind of beats per minute. They're kind of beating out of sync like this. And then eventually this little heart comes up against the big heart like this, and it takes on the beat of the big heart, and they kind of beat in unison like this. And I started praying about it, and I realized it was to do with this issue of the heart of worship that God wanted to show me. And and then I started searching for it in the scripture, and I got the scripture in Deuteronomy, if you can just flight that one. And it's a simple scripture. It says, if you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in the book of the law, and if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, and then he just lists the string of blessings. He's going to bless your livestock. He's going to bless your vineyards. He's going to bless your kids. He's basically going to bless everything. But there's this little condition, and it's if you will turn to the Lord your God with all your heart. And I started meditating on this, and I was like, how's this linked to this picture or this vision I saw? And I remember, so this little heart is kind of on this side, and it's faced away from the big heart. And in the picture, I see how it turns completely 180 degrees to the big heart, and then makes its way to the big heart, and then takes on the beat of the big heart. And I just felt God saying, you know, many of us, we don't turn completely to God. We don't turn completely to God. And secondly, we don't turn completely with all our hearts. So firstly, many of us will kind of just see God. And just as long as you can kind of just see him over there, and you can kind of just manage this relationship, just as long as you don't get too close so that you don't tell me something I don't want to do, Lord. You know, you send me to the Middle East, or you send me somewhere weird, or you tell me something that I don't want to hear. And so many of us, and Jason Upton was speaking about this in his session, we don't want to come too near. We're like the Israelites in the desert, you know. Moses can go up and be face to face with God, but you know, we'll just check him from here, because it's a little bit scary, because once you get close there, then you know you gotta die to self, because then you know you're close to God, and you gotta take on the heartbeat of the Father. And the challenge for us is we gotta turn with all our hearts. That's what the word is saying. If you turn with all your heart, the string of blessings is going to come on you. And you know, you guys know the heart has got four chambers, an amazing organ. I didn't know much about biology. I didn't pay attention when I was in school. And so when I started researching the heart, I mean, it's incredible, this organ. It's like, I think it's like the core organ in your body. I'm by no means a doctor, but I mean just the amount of times it beats. I think it's like something, a couple of 2.7 billion times in your life. I don't know if there's doctors here. And I mean it's the power that the heart, it's like squeezing a tennis ball like really hard. It just goes doof, 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 doof. And it's such an incredible organ. And I remember the first time we were pregnant with, or my wife was pregnant with William, our son, and it was our first scan. And we went to the doctor, kind of similar to you guys did the other day. We went to the doctor, and we got to the scanning room, and he puts on this machine, and he's got this McGaffter thing that he's like putting on a tummy over here, and I'm seeing nothing. I'm really disappointed. You know, all these people said it's amazing. The first scan is amazing. I'm seeing nothing. All I'm seeing is just this gray, and it's black and gray, and he's like, there's this, and there's this. I'm like, brother, I see nothing. And then all of a sudden, he reaches up and he cranks up this volume button. And all of a sudden, I just hear doof, 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 doof. 147 beats per minute. I'll never forget it. There was my little guy's heart, and it was beating. And he was like a little jelly bean, 6 millimeters big, but he had a heartbeat. And I just remember just God speaking to me in that moment how important the heart is. And we've got 4 chambers in our heart, and many of us will say, Lord, I'm willing to give you 3 chambers, but this last little chamber, you know, Father, I studied 6 years to become this professional, and actually I know what I'm doing at work, and I'm actually not going to submit my business plans to you because I actually know what's doing, and it's great, Holy Spirit, that you want to tell me what to do, but I've actually got this under control. And God is saying, bring it all. Bring all 4 chambers to me. Turn to me with your whole heart. I want to be involved in every part of your life. And that's the challenge. Here's the challenge. When God's got our hearts, He's got our worship. Think about it. You know when there's something between you and the Lord, and it's normally a heart issue, and I'll speak about the issues that come between us and God. But it's normally a heart issue. And you know when you've turned to God with all your heart. You know when you're holding back. You know when you've turned 150 degrees, or whether you've turned only 90 degrees, or you've turned 180 degrees and you're walking to God and He's got all 4 chambers. You know. We all know if we really get honest about it. And the challenge is, I'm putting it out there, He wants all of our hearts. And people, He's patient with us. Don't get freaked out. It's a journey. Very often I've had to, in the last 2 or 3 years, then I know something creeps in. And this thing gets in, you know, between me and the Lord, and then the Holy Spirit will just gently put His finger on it, and He say, "I don't want that there." So, like what Dennis was sharing about now, you know, it's just these little things, distractions, not necessarily sin, just distractions. They take your attention away from the things of God. Not necessarily bad things, you know. Many cases, in my case, it was sport. Got too addicted to sport until God had to deliver me from that, and now I'm fine again. It can be anything. It can be coffee. You know, anything that you become dependent on and that becomes a crutch in your life and that you can't rely on God on, He doesn't like things like that. And God will show you, but He's patient with you, so don't panic. So number one, the heart of worship is a heart that's turned to God. Number two, it's a heart that beats for others. I once heard, was one of the Rhema pastors still. He asked the question, he wonders what God's heart sound like when it beats. And I thought, good question. It's probably massive, so it's really loud. I mean, if you go and read Revelation, I think I shared about that last time I was here. Heaven is not a quiet place. You know, around the throne, it's lightnings and thunderings and millions of angels singing. You know, it's creatures giving praise to God. They're singing in perfect unison. It's a lively, colorful, jovial place. So I thought maybe the heartbeat of God is just like this massive dwah, dwah, dwah. And maybe it is, but he said he thinks it sounds like this. People, 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 people. Mensa, mensa, mensa. And I thought, sure, wow, that is insightful because that is his heart. God so loved that he gave. That's what it's about. He gave what was most precious to him. Why? Because of us, because of people. He gave it for people. And I was just reading to William, my son, the story of Abraham the other night again, and the offering of Isaac. And I thought to myself, my goodness, what a faith test he passed, eh? I mean, if I just have to think of, you know, there's this unclear prankie bookie that we read, and now he's Abraham with his groot messy poor Isaac. And I mean, imagine the boy's disbelief, you know, just looking up at his father and just thinking, what are you doing? You know, and imagine the anguish and the confusion in Abraham. Here's the miracle child. They've waited, what, 80 or, I can't even remember, 80 or 100 years for the kid. And here God asks him to offer his son. And it's just such a picture of God's heart again, you know, where he came and he gave Jesus. Okay, so the heart of God beats for people. And we were sharing about it yesterday. We were actually just talking about the role of worship and how that plays a role in God's heart for people. And I was just sharing around the scripture in Acts where it's written that God will restore the tabernacle of David so that he may draw all men to himself. And God is doing an amazing thing through worship in our time on this earth. He's drawing men, he's drawing young kids, students, more than ever before. People are getting saved through worship encounters. I call them worship encounters because it's where Passion and Hillsong and who knows who soon it's going to be, Shofar, maybe a full stadiums and events. And they just invite somebody into a worship experience and they encounter God. People don't get saved necessarily just by good sermons or a well worked out talk. People get saved because they encounter God, and that's what changes them. When they encounter God, that's when they fall to their knees, they surrender and say, Lord, I need you in my life. We need more of those. And that's why I get excited about something like we're planning this Coast to Coast tour. Have you heard of the Coast to Coast? We did it a year or two ago, and I was just amazed. You know, I was so skeptical because it wasn't my idea, the original tour. And I thought, Lord, here we go, the Shofar band, going along the coast of South Africa, peak holiday time, en ons gaan ons worshiplikkie sing op die strande. And I thought, they are going to laugh at us. And it was intimidating. So now you set up, you know, at the Mossel Bay or for Jeffrey's Bay or for the Plettenberg Bay, you know, and there the Oaks are, they're all on holiday, got a beer in the hand, smoking a cigarette, and they're checking, what are these guys doing? You know, and he comes sing on some Jesus likies for hulle. And God just really had to challenge me, and he had to break my boxes. And he said, worship doesn't just belong in the church building. Because when we sing these songs that have been inspired by the Holy Spirit, they go out into the hearts of people. And they unlock and they turn keys. And people over December are relaxed. Their guards are down. And you get them because they, you know, they're just kind of relaxing. What's this about? All of a sudden, they're confronted with the truth. And we all register the truth when we hear it. And they're challenged right there and then. And I mean, we got over 100 people saved, baptized them in the sea the first time round. And God just said, you know, he just blew my paradigms away. And he just said, don't limit me with what you think I can do through your praise and worship songs. You know? He can do that. I mean, he came through so many times for us. I remember the Kleinmond event. It's howling. The wind is howling. It's an onshore wind that's coming off the sea. And nobody's on the beach. Nobody's on the grass area there because nobody wants to be. I mean, you can hardly hear each other. It's so loud, you know. But it kind of comes off the sea. And then the town is at the bottom like this. Those of you know Kleinmond. And then it goes up against the mountain like this. And the wind was coming from behind us. And we set up and we were playing over this grass patch. And we thought we were playing to nobody. And I thought it was a dud of an event, dud of a show. And Wima went ahead, sang the songs, preached the message, and kind of packed up and then went back to where we were staying, which was kind of right at the back of town against the mountain. And somebody said to me, we heard every single word that was said, and we heard the gospel preached to the whole of Kleinmond because the wind amplified it up against this mountain. So what I thought was a Dutch show means that people were sitting in the house because our PA was loud. I mean, we were pumping it. So what was meant to be this little event for, you know, 100 or 200 people ended up being the gospel preached to the entire town, and we didn't even know it. And who knows what people did in their houses when they heard this radical message, you know, over December. And again, just God challenged me. He did many miracles with the weather and held weather, rain back in Jeffrey's Bay. It was incredible. But it's just a reminder for me of, let's take our worship beyond this building. Let's take our worship into the streets. That's how Shofar was birthed, with Pastor Fred and Lucille. They started with just them on the streets in the early 1990s, before apartheid was ended. And they just worshipped on the streets. The people thought they were crazy. They thought they were crazy, and they just did prophetic worship in the streets. They probably laughed at them. But powerful in the spirit, they established the foundation, I believe, for this movement and what we're flowing in, you know. It was birthed many years ago, and we're walking in that legacy. And I was saying to Mark and his team, you know, I challenged them, and I said, what are you going to do to call the nation of Namibia to worship? Because God wants all the earth to worship him. From the rising of the sun to its going down, his name must be praised. And they're praying about that. So number one, the heart of worship is a heart that's turned to God. Number two, it's a heart that beats for others. You know, I just want to mention there's a scripture in Amos that speaks about, put away from me the noise of your songs and your festivities and your stringed instruments. And then it says, but let justice run down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. And that's also something that I feel God is saying, is let our justice spring forth from our praise. I was reading a little Facebook thing on Friday before I came in. It's an American artist. And I'd wondered what happened to him, because I used to buy CDs and things. And then he's kind of just disappeared off the scene. And then I looked him up on Facebook. And he's got involved in Cambodia in the East. And, I mean, he posts horrific and graphic stories of what they call now the latest form of human slavery, which is this trafficking story. And he posts, you know, stories. I'm not even going to repeat it because it's disturbing. You know, it will upset you. And then I just realized, my goodness, you know, he's actually doing something with his worship. He takes his songs and he dedicates a certain percentage of it to supporting the work of these people that are stopping the slavery, that are stopping the sex trafficking. And when you hear his stories of 4-year-old little girls being caught up, he thought it's one of the workers' daughters, and they told him, no, she's just come off the streets, 4 years old. I've just got a 6-month-old daughter. I cannot imagine, you know, how disturbed somebody must be if they engage in something like that. But it's happening. And people save up all year to go and have orgies in the East. And he says, it's become a thing. The younger you can score them, the better. It's like big game hunting. The younger you can go, the more cool you are. It's sick. It's disturbing. But it's happening in our world. And what are we doing about it? And I felt so challenged. And I said, Lord, I don't know. Maybe I must support this organization or something. But it's not like in, you know, that stuff doesn't really happen in Namibia, and it doesn't, you know, maybe to a certain extent. But I tell you, there's places in this earth that are wicked people. It's like Sodom and Gomorrah. It's terrible. And God is saying, what are you going to do about it? Are you just going to live comfortably and turn a blind eye to it? Or is justice going to run down like water, and is righteousness going to run down like a mighty stream? What are you going to do about it? Is your praise and your worship going to be locked up in your building, or is it going to go out, and is it going to reach the needs and heal people? And God is saying, my heart, it beats for others. If you want a heart of worship, it's that heart that comes up the little heart and it takes on the heart of the beat of a big heart. And that's a tall call for us, but it's what he wants. He wants us to feel his heart. And again, God will be patient with you in drawing you closer to feel the things of his heart. Number three, the heart of worship is an offense-free heart. It's an offense-free heart. And I obviously pray before I do these trips, and I just felt this was something that I just needed to put out there. And, you know, as a worship leader, we often, we're on duty quite a lot. And I just know I can't really get to a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening, and I've had a fight with my wife and we haven't made up, and now I must go and lead a whole lot of people in worship. You know, that just, it doesn't work. You know, I've tried it once or twice. It just, it goes down like a lead balloon. So I've got into this habit of, I know that walking in peace is so important. Walking offense-free is so important. And I mean, just look at the scriptures there. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. And it's a straightforward scripture here, people. It's saying, if you're offended with someone, and listen to this, if someone else has got something against you, I didn't even know this until I studied the scripture. It's not even like, Lord, I've got something against somebody else. It's if somebody's got something else against you, it's not, you don't even have an issue with them. And there, remember, your brother has something against you. You could be offense-free. And God is saying, but that guy is offended with you. Gaan maak reg. Then bring your praise. Then bring your offering. And just go to that next scripture, please. I mean, when Jesus teaches us to pray, he says, every day we say, and forgive us our sins, Lord, as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And here's the scary one. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We cannot afford to walk with unforgiveness in our life. We cannot afford to walk with offense in our life. God is not going to forgive you, people. This is a straightforward hard work, and it's something I've had to learn. I've been wronged badly in my life, and I thought I'd forgiven this gentleman. And I just, you know, when you see him, you automatically go on to defense mode. And I just realized, and this is like years later, and I just realized, God, there's still something there. There's still something there that is against your brother. And God is like a father. He loves his children. And what does a father hate? He hates it when his children fight, eh? You hate it when your children fight because you love your children. And God's got the same heart. He does not like it when we're offended with each other or when you're cross. And he goes further. He says, just leave your praise and worship. I'm not interested in it right now. Leave your gift at the altar and go and make right. Go and make right with your brother and go and make right with your sister. And I want to challenge you guys. Yeah, you know, we'll speak about it at the end. But I feel there's people that need to do business with God around this issue of offenses, because it's so easy. And it's the slop trick of the devil to catch us with this. It's the quickest that he gets us, offense. I can't tell you how many times this year I've had to push offense out of my heart, because it just comes. It's so easy to get offended. I'm talking about Christians around me. I'm not talking about unsaved people. It's so easy to get offended. And the devil, he just keeps on sending those arrows of offense. And you can choose whether you want to block them with your shield, or you can choose whether you want to take them into your heart, and there they just grow and they become ugly, and then they start producing fruit in your life. And people who walk around with unforgiveness, I mean, you can, I think it's probably even in just in literature that they end up, it manifests physically in their bodies. It actually manifests physically, they get all kinds of cancers and track, give it, what's this, rheumatic, and all kinds of things. And once they go into forgiveness, those things just break over their lives and lift over their lives. So offense, we need to watch for that, because a heart of worship is an offense-free heart, because you don't bring your offering when there's offense in it. Okay. Actually, I skipped one. Number three, a pure heart. A pure heart. Look at this scripture. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol nor sworn deceitfully. If you can just do that next one as well. 1 Peter 2 verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who are called out of darkness into his marvelous light. We were just on holiday 2 or 3 weeks ago on the Durban coast, and when I go on holiday, I kind of start thinking about all the things that I don't get to in the year. And I was like, I start thinking about all the things I can do with my time and whether I can start playing golf again and whether I can, you know, do a whole lot of fun things, travel more. And I very often get a little bit distracted when I'm, on holiday. And I remember my wife had this entrepreneurship article. She's got a business that she runs. And she bought this entrepreneurship mag, and I was really inspired by this one company who had they'd just really grown like crazy percentage just by doing bold moves. And I really felt inspired after reading this article, and I thought, yeah, I want to do something, you know, amazing in business, you know. And I'm going to pour my time into, you know, helping my wife with strategy and things me and Mark were talking about the other day. And you know, how are we going to get there and how are we going to grow the business and add new channels and marketing and where do we want to be in 2 years' time? And I thought, you know, I'm going to start spending a lot of time on this. And God just spoke to me so clearly in that moment. And he said, I haven't called you for that. I haven't called you to make money right now in life. Right now, I've called you to make music. And he just reminded me of who I am. Richard Wade. I remember being in Australia many years ago, and there nobody knew me. I was there for work. I was in Melbourne. I'm all on my own. Not a single person knows me or that I think that didn't know me. And I just remember just thinking, I could basically do anything I wanted now because nobody knows me yet. And God just said to me, remember who you are. Remember who you are, you Richard Wade. Remember what I've called you to do. You're chosen, just like all of us sitting here. We're a chosen generation. We're a royal priesthood. We're holy. We're his own special people. We're the people he's called out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his glorious light, that we may proclaim his praises. Remember who you are. You are holy. Heart of worship is a holy heart. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. It links again to the whole offense thing. But now I'm talking about holiness. And holiness, you know, it comes and goes out of the church. And people preach about it. And then it's out of fashion to preach about holiness. And I believe just in this last season, I've just been saying to the worship teams, guys, watch your personal holiness, you know. Devil comes with these old tricks. You know, and he makes his mighty men fall. Watch your personal holiness. Watch your personal holiness. If you've got a holy heart, you ascend to the hill of the Lord. And that other thing, who has not lifted his soul up to an idol. And that's what I was talking about. Here's the thing with idols. Idols, we're not talking about statues that we make and we go and bow down to 3 times. You know, that's not what God is talking about. Your idols are things that steal, I call them, they steal my God time, because they come into my mind and then I think about them and then they start stealing my time and I start pouring my mind time into it and my affection, and eventually this thing just grows and then it starts competing with the worship of God and starts competing with the things of God. And then I know, okay, God is putting his finger on this thing and he's saying, no, that's my time. That's my meditation time. That's my mind time. When this thing starts ruling your mind, then he's not happy with that. Do you guys, does anybody agree with that? And so just watch out for it. And it's simple. It's not a big thing. You don't have to cry and lament and weep. You just say, sorry, Lord. Test. There we go. And so God is just saying, a heart of worship is a pure heart. Okay, lastly. Thanks. Number five, it's a heart of giving. Let's read that scripture. And Moses spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take from among you an offering to the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as an offering to the Lord." And then it goes on, you know, gold, thread, rams, skins, badger skins, acacia wood, oil, stones, everything that needs to be brought. And so the important thing to realize is the two verbs, take and bring, have this precondition here. So this is talking about bringing an offering to the Lord. And he's saying, take and bring. But there's this thing that God is interested in. Whoever is of a willing heart. And so from the beginning of time, giving has never been a financial issue, people. Giving has always been a heart issue. Giving has always been a heart issue. So when it's that time of the month, I don't know if you guys do your little budget. Me and my wife got a little spreadsheet that we run each month, and we punch in our numbers, and it kicks in how many rooms I say we can go and eat. You can't say to God, "Lord, I'll see what the budget says and get back to you. You know, I've got a spreadsheet, Lord, and that's how we make these decisions." God is not saying that. He says, whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it. And so giving before you see how much money you earn, before you do your sums, before you earn an income, you need to settle this thing about giving, and it starts in your heart. Once you've sorted that out, tithing will never be a problem for you. Sowing will never be a problem for you. You know, my wife, she works in the banking industry. She's an attorney, but she works in the private banking industry. So it's standard for them to get bonuses. She doesn't get as big bonuses as the bankers do, but she gets generally, if it's a good year, they get a bonus. And I've already known now, once she's tithed on the bonus, then normally, like the last few years, the Lord lays on her heart where to sow. And I don't know how much it's gonna be. She always submits it to me. But I know this thing, it's coming, you know. And I'm like, "Lord, we want to buy a house, you know. We have these needs. The kids are coming. And I haven't bought new clothes this year, Lord." And God just, you know, I know it's coming. And I remember it was earlier this year. My folks in law, hulle is boere daar in die Vrystaat, en hulle het 'n beesboerdery, and their beerman, the farmer there, he was a young guy that had worked in England for a couple of years. He'd saved all his money and he'd come back, and I think he bought a troop of about 100 beers or something, and he was hiring ground, you know, and it was just him, just got married, a young couple, and they were just, you know, they didn't have much, but they were really trying to make it work. I don't even know how many beers they had, but anyway, so we hear this story, they're close to the N1, and we hear this story in the middle of the night, Freightliner comes and takes out a whole lot of his beers there. And I don't think you have insurance on this type of thing. And I remember my father-in-law just phoning us and just kind of mentioning it by the way to us. And this thing touched Jolene so much. You know, here was this young guy who had worked so hard to come back and try and start a farm by renting somebody else's ground. I mean, who knows? The people, if you don't, as you need erfnie and you moet eers grond hier, it takes much longer to get yourself set up. He is a young guy, and he takes such a blow through a big truck that comes and rides over a couple of his beers there, you know. And she hates it when somebody really tries, and then they take a knock in life. And then she spoke to me about it, and I thought, "Oh yeah, he come it now." And we've got a couple of dozen of piesta as well that we run there on the farm. And and then she said, okay, she feels, you know, God is saying, "Ons moet 'n paar piesta vir die ou gee." And I remember thinking, oh, you know, 'n paar piesta is nog baie geld, jy weet. And what about this expense? And what about this? And we're trying to buy a house and things like that. And God just challenged me and saying, before you make the sums about how much you're going to sell your BSD for or how much it's going to cost you, let's just settle this thing in your heart. Are you willing to sow? Are you willing to give? And once I'd crossed that hurdle, it was easy. Then we could sow. And I just feel such a release in being able to sow. But giving starts with the heart. Look at this other beautiful scripture. The next one there. 2 Samuel verse 7. Now it came to pass when the king was dwelling in his house that the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies all around, that the king said to Nathan the prophet, See now I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells inside 10 curtains. Then Nathan said to the king, go do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you. And I was talking about this. The ark is, David is staying in Mount Cedar, Lebanon. He has built an incredible wooden house out of the best wood you probably get on the planet. And the ark of God is in a little canvas tent a few kilometers away. And God, David had made the sums, and he's saying, this is not right. God's presence is dwelling in a shanty little tent, and here I am staying in the best that we can build right now, the best architecture. In those days, that was probably the nicest house you can get. So David makes his sums. But Nathan immediately identifies, David, this is not a financial issue for you. He knows that David he's made his sums, but this is a heart issue. And he says to him, go and do all that is within your heart. Giving is a heart issue. And that's why we bring our praise and we bring our offering in the Old Testament. You brought the unblemished. You brought not the lame, not the sick. You brought your finest offering. And that's what I said to you guys this morning. When we come into this place, we're not distracted because we're bringing our worship. We're bringing our praise. It's our offering. And God is worthy. He's worthy of our finest. He's not worthy of distraction. He's not worthy of half-baked offerings. And I'm too ashamed to lift my hand to God because, you know, what will the people think of me? No. God is worthy of our finest offering. So what do we bring in this day? That next slide. We bring our thankfulness. It was what Mark was talking about when we were praying this morning. Is there a right way to come into God's presence? There is. It's with thanksgiving. The Bible tells us that is how you approach God. You want to do it the correct way? You come with thanksgiving. And thanksgiving, people, is powerful. Thanksgiving will set you free. If you're struggling with depression here, if you're struggling with anxiety, start with thanksgiving. Start praying in the morning and you say, thank you, Lord, that I'm alive, that I'm breathing, that I have breath in my lungs to praise you. Thank you, Father, that there's provision. I've got food on my table. I've got a house over my head. I've got clothes to wear. Thank you, Father, for my family. Thank you, God, that they're not perfect, but they're the ones you've given me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. I guarantee you five minutes later, if you felt down, it's going to change you. Start with thanksgiving. It activates the presence of God in your life. Thanksgiving is so powerful. And you know what the devil does? He comes and blocks our wells. He blocks our wells of thanksgiving so that the thanksgiving cannot flow. And he throws the offenses in there. And he throws the big boulders in there. And he starts throwing things in our wells so that we can't live in joy. Because the joy of the Lord is our... You're feeling pop. You're feeling demotivated. You're feeling like the devil's running over you. I challenge you. Start with thanksgiving. It's going to activate joy in your life. And then you're going to start getting strength. You're going to start walking and overcoming. But it starts with your mouth. You bring the fruit of your lips. You bring the fruit of your lips. We activate our mouths. By the mouths of men, giants have fallen. By the mouths of men, cities like Jericho have fallen. There's a supernatural thing that happens when we start using this tool. It's called our tongue. And it's God-given. That's why we sing. Because it's precious before God. Activate the fruit of your lips. Use your limbs. That's why God has given them. We were talking about Davidic worship yesterday. The Old Testament, we didn't have that. But in the New Testament, when David comes in, he starts writing about, lift your hands to the Lord, shout to God with a voice of triumph, clap your hands, all you peoples. Sing, play skillfully to the Lord, play with stringed instruments, play lots of drum kits with loud cymbals and clashing cymbals. That's what he's talking about. We need to start using our limbs. I want to encourage you. Don't be ashamed to clap your hands in church. God loves it when you clap your hands in church. Don't worry what the people are going to think when you sing loud. God wants to hear your voice. Don't be afraid to lift up a shout of triumph to God. In a godly shout, the demons flee. It's not a natural thing. When there's a godly shout, it goes out into the spirit because we're speaking and we're shouting with authority. Godly shout, powerful. That's why the Bible is full of it. Start using your limbs. We are the vessels of God. We are the temples of God. That's why we need to be holy. But let's start using it. Let's start lifting our hands to Him. Let's start singing unashamedly. Don't worry what people think about your voice. Dance before the Lord. We don't dance enough in church. I think I shared this last time. David danced with all his might. All his might. The king of a nation. Sweating, jumping, leaping, whirling. He danced with everything until he was much. Danced in front of the whole nation, unashamed. Let's dance before the Lord. It's very liberating. I don't do it often enough, but once I do it, it's my okaitikies, my bikkie stuif, maar is lekker. Because I know it wasn't just something that happened in the natural. It pleased God when I did this because it's in the Bible. It's biblical worship. Amen? Amen. Okay, that is about what I had to share with you. So just to recap, number one, the heart of worship is a heart that's turned to God. Number two, it's a heart that beats for others. Number three, it's a pure heart. It's an offense-free heart, number four. And lastly, it's a heart of giving, a heart that brings the praise, that brings the worship in the way that I've just shared with you now. And if you'll stand with me, I'm just wanting us to respond to that. And there's just a couple of questions that I've put up here, and we're going to do it slightly different this morning. I want you to pray, just to take 5 minutes. We've got another 5 minutes here before we need to be done. Let's just pray through these things. Maybe there are not issues in your life around these things, but I believe the challenge has gone out and we need to respond to it. And just to come back to that offense thing, I feel specifically when I was praying, I feel somebody has been wrong financially, yeah? Money's been stolen from you and you're walking around with that offense and that unforgiveness in your heart. And yes, it feels like somebody has done you in, and that you have reason to be offended, and that you have reason to, when you think of that person, have anger towards that person. And God is saying, today is the day. I want you to release that. I want you to let it go. Yes, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense just to forget about it and to write it off. But I'm going to heal you of that. The other thing that I felt was breakdowns in families, particularly between a daughter and a father. I feel that there's some a relationship that's got damaged, something that has happened, and there needs to be forgiveness there as well. So let's just take 5 minutes. You do business with God, and let's just, you ask yourself this question, is my heart at that place where it's 100% turned to God? Can you truly say that I've turned to God with all my heart? Is my heart beating for others, or am I just building my own kingdom? Is my worship going beyond my life? Is it reaching out to others? Is holiness the issue in your life? Do you need to bring yourself before God and repent of anything there? Forgiveness we spoke about now. And then this thing of giving, is giving a heart issue for you? Or is it difficult? Is it difficult? Does that thing still have power over you, that giving issue? Let's just pray around that. there's anybody that needs prayer, I want you to come forward. I'd love to pray for you. If you've identified with any of the things that I've shared and you feel you need somebody to pray with you, please come forward that we can pray about these things. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for this congregation, Lord. I want to thank you for your special people. I thank you, Lord, for your plan that you have for them, Lord. I thank you for life that is here, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you are living, Lord, in this place, God, that you are living in the hearts of these people, Father. I thank you for the special plans that you have for them, God. I thank you for the calling on their lives, Lord. I thank you that they are not in Swakopmund by mistake, Lord, that you have called them, Lord, to impact the nation of Namibia. I thank you that this church will be a city on a hill. I thank you that it will be a beacon of hope. And I thank you that you draw them close to you. I thank you that you call them into intimacy, Lord. I thank you that you call them into that place of intimacy so that they can walk in power, Lord. And I just pray over them, God. Just, Lord, for their quiet times, Lord, for their times with you, Lord, I thank you that they will connect with you more than ever before, Lord. I thank you that you'll stir them, Lord, that they'll have their first love back in every way, that they'll be passionate for you, Father God, that they'll burn with a fire, Lord, for your kingdom, Lord, that they'll go out, Lord, and make disciples of this nation, Father, that they'll be bold and that they'll preach the gospel, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for worship that erupts from this church, Lord. I thank you for life, Lord. I thank you for a living fountain, Lord. A springing fountain, Lord, that just gives life in this place, Father God. I just declare, Lord, that this place will be like fresh bread, Lord. That people will come from far to come eat from this place. And I thank you, Lord, that you call them to have a heart of worship, Lord. I thank you, Father, that they settle these issues in their heart this morning. I pray, Lord, that just by your gentle prompting, Lord, just how gentle you are with us, God, I thank you that you will lead them in truth, Lord, and in maturity, Lord, of this message, Lord, and the challenge that has gone out, Father. I commit every heart to you, yeah, Father. I just declare and I ask, Lord, that we will be that royal priesthood, Lord, that special people, that holy nation, Lord, that we may proclaim your praises, Father. I speak your blessing out over these people, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. If there's anybody that has prayer requests, you're welcome to come forward. I'll pray with you.